And we're holding on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, 16 lines from the bottom, a little more than halfway down. They're wide lines. We're in the middle of learning about different things and how priests of Avodah Zarah would work. The last thing we had was the whole scam that they had going over there when there was a person who had money that would convince him, they would put him in a position where they can convince him to give away his money to Avodah Zarah. So now the Gemara continues more on the topic of Avodah Zarah, of the various kinds of Avodah Zarah that existed in those days. So the psukim the Gemara is going to dash in over here have to do with. So we have in Sefer Melachim, you have the Aseres HaShevatim were taken into Golos by Sancheiriv and his army. And afterwards, he brought people from other places, from Kusa and various other cities, to repopulate that part of Eretz Yisrael. And originally, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah. Then they were attacked by lions. Then they said, we need to convert to Judaism. This, which is why you have the Machlokes throughout Shas, whether they became genuine Gerim or not. In any case, the Pesukim describe over there how, at least for a period of time, after their Gerus, they were continuing, they were worshipping Hashem, but Lahavdil, they were also worshipping the Avodah Zarahs as well. And the Pesuk goes and describes for each nation which was their chief of Avodah Zarah. So again, the question is, did they continue with that all the time, or did they eventually give that up and at some point become genuine Gerim? It's Machlokes throughout Shas. Eventually you have, and Chulin, the Gemara explains that eventually they found that they were worshipping an image of a dove on Har Gerizim, which is their main so-called holy place in Eretz Yisrael, and at that point the Chachamim declared them Goyim Gemurim. Anyway, so the Gemara is going to quote the Psukim that describe the Avodah Zarahs that they had there when they first came to Shomron, and it's going to explain one by one what they are. The Pasuk says, Omer Yehuda Amar Rab. The Pasuk begins by saying the people, the Goyish colonists who had been brought there from the city of Babel or from the country of Babel, made themselves an idol called Sukkos Benois. So the Gemara interjects, what does that mean? Umaynihu tanagoylus. That means it was an image of a hen. Sukkos benois, as in sukkos, meloshon that she overshadows and protects her children. So Rashi just says in their language, sukkos benois was the name for a hen. The idea would be sukkos means like it covers over, it protects benois, its children, its eggs or its chicks. So that was the first one. The next pasuk continues, V'anshei Chus also as Nergal. The people who were brought there from Chus made themselves an idol called Nergal, or Mainiu Tarnagol. What is Nergal? Is an image of a rooster. Nergal and Tarnagol are similar letters. Some of these, by the way, I mean, at least with a couple of these, we actually know them, Lahavdil, from various Goyish sources of that time. For example, Nergal they find in various Babylonian inscriptions and whatever from their time that it was one of their major gods. We even find in Psukim, we find a couple of Nebuchadnezzar's top officials have Nergal in their name. So here, the Gemara may mean that it actually was worshipped in the form of a rooster, and similarly with all the other ones. Or it might be part of this Litzanusa d'Avodah Zarah. We learned a few lines earlier. We learned yesterday that you're allowed to make fun of Avodah Zarah. So maybe the Gemara is kind of, maybe the Pasuk and the Gemara is kind of doing that, saying like here, you know, they think of this Nergal as this mighty war god of theirs or whatever. But really, it's no more significant than taking a rooster and bowing down to it. Anyway, the pasuk continues. Va'anshe Chamos also as Ashima. The people of Chamos made themselves an idol called Ashima. Umayniu Barcha Parcha. What is Ashima? Is an image, or a live one maybe, of a goat. Barcha means a male goat. Parcha means that it's bald in the sense it doesn't have wool like a sheep. It's a goat. Instead, it has hair. How does Ashima come to mean a goat? So Maharsha points out that it's related to the word shomim, which means desolate. So like it's desolate of wool, and all it has is hair, which is much less useful. Next, the pasuk continues, Va'avim osu as nivchan, or the way the pasuk says it actually is nivchaz with a zayin, ve'es tartok. Next, the people who were brought there from the city of Ava made themselves two idols, nivchan, or nivchaz really is how it says in the pasuk, and tartok. O my ninhu, what are nivchaz and tartok? Kelav v'chamer, an image, or live, dog and donkey. Nivchaz would mean a dog, because Meloshin Novach, as in the barking of a dog. Taratok, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, stands for the words Trei Tiki, which means two sacks, because that's often how you load up a donkey. We find in different places in Shas that they would load up, they would have two sacks tied together, one hanging on each side of the donkey. So those were their two Avodah Zarahs. And the Pasuk finishes off, Vasfarvim, the people from who were brought there from a place called Sfarvayim, Sirfimus Bneim Vespinesem Ba'esh, they would burn their sons and daughters in fire, La Adramelech Va'anamelech Elekei Sfarvayim, in honor of Adramelech and Anamelech, the gods of Sfarvayim. Now we're going to talk about, later on, we're going to talk about at the bottom of Samach Daladom and Aleph, and Samach Daladom and Samach Daladom and Beis, we're going to talk about the Avodah Zarah of Moloch. So is this the same as the Avodah Zarah of Moloch? We'll get to over there. The Gemara seems to say that not. The Gemara understands that the regular Avodah Zarah of Moloch, which we're going to talk about later on, doesn't involve burning the child, just having him walk between, or having him walk or be carried or whatever, between two fires. But here, we're describing these people of Sfarvayim would actually burn their children as sacrifices to these idols. What are Adramelech and Anamelech? So they are hapered vasus, an image of a mule and of a horse. Why are they called that respectively? Adramelech is so called de adole lemore b'teina. A mule can be nicknamed Adramelech because it honors its master by carrying his burdens. A mule is stronger than a donkey. You can carry heavier burdens on it. So therefore, it honors it. Adar comes from a lashon of honoring, like Adu b'amore Hashem. So it means it honors and respects its master by patiently carrying his burdens. Marsha brings from Radak on the pasuk. Another possibility is Adar may be related to the Aramaic word Dori, which means to carry. So in any case, it carries its master's burdens. The Anamelech, why would a horse be called Anamelech? The only le more de krova. It answers and it helps its master in battle. You ride a horse into battle, and the horse is sensitive to the instructions you're giving it, and it goes and answers and helps you out in battle. Therefore, it's called Anamelech. So now, having mentioned this whole catalog of Avodah Zarahs that they had, and one of them, the last two we said, are Adramelech and Anamelech, where they would burn children as a korban to it. So the Gemara says, Af Chizki, a Melech Yehuda, Bikish Oviv Lasis Lekein. Also with Chizkiyahu, his father, Ochaz, who was a notorious Russia, wanted to do the same thing to him, to also bring him as a korban to one of these getchkes to which they burn children. Elish Sachatu, Imo Salamandra, but his mother, Chizkiah's mother, ahead of time smeared him with the blood of a salamandra, which is a creature, the Gemara mentions in other places, that's created from fire. You keep a fire burning, you keep a fire of certain materials burning for 7 years straight, and then there comes out of it this little creature called a salamandra, where the smearing the blood of it on a person makes him fireproof. So Chizkiah's mother, knowing that her husband is about to do this, she smeared the stuff on Chizkiah, and that way he was saved from getting burnt. And eventually he became the king of Yehuda, and he got rid of all the Avodah Zarah that his father Ochaz had brought in all over Eretz Yisrael. Later on, by the way, we're going to talk about when it comes to Moloch, that if a person sacrifices all his children, then he's potter for reasons that we're going to discuss over there. Mephoshim point out, in this connection, we actually do see from Psukim that Ochaz did have other children as well. You have one of them is mentioned in Sefer Melachim in Divrei Yomim as having been killed in a battle against the Aseret HaShevatim. And the Pasuk there in Divrei Yomim also mentions that Hevers Bonov Ve'esh, that he passed his sons in plural through fire. So the idea might be maybe he started with Chizkiyahu because he was the eldest, and then when he saw that it didn't work out, then maybe he didn't bother with the other ones, or maybe he did, and some of them were killed. We don't really know. So the Gemara continues. So the Gemara continues in this connection now. So Ochaz worshipped Avodah Zarah. Unfortunately, it was a problem over and over again, all the way throughout the time, almost from when they came into Eretz Yisrael until Churban Bayis Tradition. And even as we're going to learn soon, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had to beg the Eibishter to take away that Yetzer Hara. So where does this Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah come from in the first place? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Yodin Ho Yisrael Ba'avodah Zarah Shein Mamamash. Look, the Jewish people are not stupid. They knew that Avodah Zarah is worthless. The only reason they worshipped Avodah Zarah was in order to be matter them Arayas in public. In other words, they had a strong Yetzirah for Arayas, which is fine, that's a natural human tendency, is to have a Yetzirah for that. Now, they know that Eibishter has rules. There's all kinds of rules restricting what you can do as far as Arayas. So therefore, so they used this idea, we'll worship Avodah Zarah, and we'll believe in that. And Avodah Zarah, the various pagan gods don't care about these kinds of things. As long as we bring them their korbanos and whatever, then they're happy. So therefore, that gave them the excuse, then the license to do whatever they want. So the Gemara says, Masiv Ramasharshia. Ramasharshia says, wait a minute. So you're telling me the Jewish people didn't really have a Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah per se. It was more just as an excuse to be able to do other things. But we find a pasuk that when their children remember their mizbechus, so the pasuk is talking about how they remember and how much they miss their altars of Avodah Zarah when they don't have them, and Ve'omer Rav Elazar Ka'odem Sheyesh LeGagurin Al B'noy. That means they have the kind of feeling towards their altars and temples of Avodah Zarah, like the way when a person misses his son, and every time he thinks about him, like he misses him and he krechtses about him. So we're saying, in other words, so obviously that means that they had a very strong taiva to Avodah Zarah itself, so much that they miss it when they can't be near it. And we learned yesterday they had their pocket-sized Avodah Zarahs, etc. So the answer is Boster da Aviku Bay. Yeah, after they got attached to Avodah Zarah, Aviku comes from Aramaic, Ovik, or however you pronounce it, whatever, means a loop of rope, like he tied two things together. So after they got tied to Avodah Zarah, then they started becoming addicted to it, and then eventually they developed feelings for it, and they actually started. And we got to the point that we're saying over here where they would actually miss it when they can't have it around. But originally, Rabbi Hoda Amarav is telling us the initial thing, what brought them to that in the first place, was not a real hankering for Avodah Zarah, but rather a hankering for Arayas and using Avodah Zarah as an excuse to be able to get to it. But meanwhile, Yirmiya, which is what this pasuk is from, is talking about how things developed over the hundreds of years. So the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. So fine, the previous pasuk was from Yirmiyah. You could say that's describing how things were after several hundred years of Avodah Zarah. But now we have a pasuk in the Torah. V'nasati pigreichem al pigrei gululeichem. The pasuk describes, as part of the Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai, Hashem says, I will make your carcasses, your dead bodies, be on top of the carcasses of your idols, meaning that your idols are going to be destroyed and your own dead bodies are going to fall on top of those. So what does that mean? Omru, they said that here is the following story that illustrates what happened. Eliyahu HaTzadik, Koyimachazer, al Eliyahu HaNavi was going around and circulating among the people who were swollen from hunger in Yerushalayim. So before the Churban Bayis Rishon, there was a siege lasting 2.5 years. It began in Asar HaBetavis, and 2.5 years later, Tisha B'Av, they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Meanwhile, there was a tremendous lack of food in Yerushalayim because of the siege, so eventually people were swollen from hunger. We have many different psukim and Ma'amari Chazal telling about details of that. So Eliyahu HaNavi is going around among them to see if there's anything he can do to help them. One time he finds a child who's swollen from hunger, and lying in the garbage heap, like he doesn't have the koyach to go anywhere or do anything or even to look for food. So the O asks the child, what family are you from? So the child says, is there anybody left alive from that family? And the child says, no, I'm the only one left. So the O tells him, can I teach you something? I'd like to teach you something. She'ata chai boy, which you'll be able to live with that. Ata lomid, are you willing to learn it? Amaloi hein, so the child says yes. Amaloi, so the Yahu tells him, Emer b'choyim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Every day you should say Shema. Normally the child's father should have been teaching him that. The Gemara mentions in Sukkah that once a child is old enough to speak, then the first thing that the father should be teaching him is Krishna. But here the father hadn't done that because the family were worshiping Avodah Zarah. So now Eliyahu is offering to teach the child that. that for the first time. Omar Lois, the child, answers back, Has, Shalola Hasgu B'Shem Hashem. Quiet. Don't even mention the name of Hashem. This expression, Has, Ki Lola Hasgu B'Shem Hashem, is actually borrowed from a pasuk in a different context in the Nevuah of Amos. Anyway, the child says, Shalola Limde Ovi V'Imai. My father and mother never taught me such a thing. I've always learned about Avodah Zarah. I'm not taking on Hashem and saying Shema. Imagine this child in this state is still thinking that way. Right away, he took out his getchka from his lap, which, as we learned yesterday, they had their little pocket-sized getchkas in their laps. And he was hugging and kissing it, like, you want me to believe in Hashem? No, I have this that I believe in and that I love. Until his stomach split open from hunger, and his idol fell onto the ground, and his body fell on it. And that literally fulfilled the pasuk that his dead body fell on the dead Avodah Zarah. So we see, in other words, the way this child is talking, that no, I want nothing to do with Hashem, and he's even in his last moments, he's hugging and kissing the Avodah Zarah. That shows they had a pretty strong Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah itself, not just for Arayas, especially this kid in this story, as the Pasha's not old enough yet for Arayas. For Yetzirah for Arayas. And again, the Gemara answers, Bosta Daviku Bey, same answer. Yeah, once they became addicted to Avodah Zarah, then they developed feelings for it, and eventually you have the end result of it, is this child and the way that he reacted. But when we talk about originally, hundreds of years earlier, when they first got into Avodah Zarah, then it's for the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says, not because they were smart enough to realize that it's just that they wanted an excuse to serve Arayah, to do Arayah, to be Mizana. Next, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring another proof. And this one is going to be the whole long story of how the Anshek Nesagdela took away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Since we see they required Hashem to take away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, then that means they actually had a strong Yetzirah for it. So again, the answer is going to be, the ultimate answer is going to be, again, Bosa Daviku Bey, that after they became addicted to it, so now it became an independent Yetzirah of itself, and therefore the Anshek Nes Tagdola had to take strong steps to get rid of it. But the Gemara is going to actually tell the whole story. So Toshma, the pasuk says in Nehemiah, which originally was part of Sefer Ezra, the pasuk describes how they had a massive gathering of all the Jews there in front of the Harabayas, and it's a massive gathering for everybody to do tshuva and for the Levim to daven on behalf of the Jewish people. They set a whole long tefillah over there. Parts of it we say in morning davening, the parts that we say from the Yivorchu Shem Kvodecha until K'may Evan B'mayim Azim all comes from that tefillah, and then they continued on for many psukim after that, describing all the things that Hashem did for us over the years, and how Hashem kept on having rachmanos on us, even though we kept on misbehaving, and begging the Eibishter to have rachmanos on us now also in Golos. Anyway, so the pasuk introduces it by saying, "Vayizaku b'kol gadol el Hashem elokeihem." They screamed out with a loud voice to Hashem their God. So my Omer, what were they saying when we're saying that they screamed out in a loud voice? What were they saying? Now, Marsha says, what do you mean, what are they saying? We have over there a tefillah of 30 odd psukim over there. What it means is that, so what it means is, in other words, yes, they said that, they did. What you have is, in the psukim over there, you have like this. First it says, Vayizaku b'kol gadol el Hashem elokeihem. Then it says that the Levim, and it names Levim, the heads of the Levim, who were there, says to the people, Kumu borchu es Hashem elokeihem, come, get up, and bench Hashem in olam ad olam, and they begin with the tefillah of Yivorchu Shem Kvodecha, and they continue from there. So therefore, for the Vayizaku b'kol gadol, the Gemara is understanding, is not the tefillah itself, but rather something before that tefillah. So what was it? Omer of Yehuda, the Itamer of Yonasan, their tefillah, their screaming to the Eibishter was as follows. They start, Baya, Baya, whoa, whoa. Baya is a Lashon in Aramaic of crying and then pleading. Like Rashi says, like you have in Tanakh all over the place, you have the word aha, which is often an introduction to a tefillah. So in Aramaic, Baya serves the same purpose. So they're saying, Hashem, whoa, whoa. Look at this Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So this is what caused the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed. and caused the heichal to be burnt, meaning, in other words, you could have had, conceivably, the Beis Mikdash could have been destroyed, the buildings could have been knocked down, but there didn't have to be a fire. Instead, there was a fire, which is, as the Marsha points out in other places in Chas, is the most destructive of all the natural forces that Eibishter created in the world. The katlinu l'tzadiki, it caused the tzadikim were killed, the aglinu l'yisrael me'arayu, and it caused the Jewish people to go to golos from their land, v'adayin hu merakid benan, it's still dancing among us, meaning, in other words, they're saying, look, as long as we were in golos bavel, fine, maybe that yetzahara was kept at bay, people are up close and personal with the goyim, they can see what avodah zarah really is, the shtus of it, so therefore that helps keep them away from it, but now we're coming to build the second base of Mikdash, and we settle in Eretz Yisrael, and there's the danger that we're going to fall into the same trap all over again. So they say, after all, did you give us, what's the whole point of the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah? Why'd you give us such a Yetzirah? Is only to receive reward that we should withstand it and not worship Avodah Zarah, and then we'll get a reward from the Eibishter for that. But loy ihu ba'inan v'loy agri ba'inan, the Levium, the Anshek Nes Sagdola, the heads of the Anshek Nes Sagdola are saying over there, that no, we don't want it, and we don't want its reward. It's too powerful. It's too powerful for us. We can't stand it anymore. Marsha goes into a long discussion over here. I mean, so what do we say? You could say that about any Aveda. You could say that you gave us the Yetzirah, and therefore it's kind of not our fault that we're falling into it. So Marsha explains in some detail that after all, it's true. A person does have a responsibility to withstand their Yetzirah, but on the other hand, you have a different Gemara. Where it says that you have a Gemara in Brochus that says that after all Hashem Himself recognizes that He gave us the Yetzirah, and therefore like it serves as a certain excuse to a certain degree for the fact that we do have Eiris, and Hashem Himself promises to take away the Yetzirah lost lover completely. So now. The Anshek Nes Sagdola was saying that in this particular case, as far as this Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah has just gotten too powerful for us, and we're afraid of the consequences of it. In fact, he explains in this vein near the end of their tefillah. So here we're saying they're screaming out, and this whole thing is a separate thing from their tefillah. But afterwards, they have their tefillah, and near the end of it, they say the pasuk, which we also say in a few places in davening, "V'ata tzaddik al kol habar leinu," you are a tzaddik for everything that's happened to us. Ki emes asisi, because you did truth. V'anachni hushonu, we've been wicked. Meaning, Marsha says they're saying with that, it's true. You're the truthful one. You made the Yetzirah. And it should have been our job to withstand it, and we didn't. We messed up, we did badly, and we didn't. But now we're begging you, Eibishter, to please take it away from us. So again, the Gemara answers before it continues with the story that again the answer is Bosa Davikube. Here they're talking about after they had gotten addicted to it, so therefore they have to plead with the Eibishter to take away that Yetzirah. But it's true. Originally, it would have been much easier to defeat it. The Gemara, by the way, mentions in Erchin. The Gemara mentions that in one place in those psukim, Yehoshua's name, Yehoshua ben Nun, his name is spelt without the hey that would usually be in it. It's spelt Yeshua. And the Gemara explains over there that's meant as a criticism of Yehoshua. In his time, when they first came into Eretz Yisrael, when they first had the schus of Eretz Yisrael, would have been a perfect time to get the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah taken away because it was much weaker. It was much weaker then. So he should have done that. He should have relied on the source of Eretz Yisrael to ask the Eibishter to take away the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah from the Jewish people then, and then you wouldn't have had all the consequences that flowed from it over hundreds of years. But here, L'achar HaMaisa, now the Anshek Nes Sagdola are taking care of the matter. So the Gemara continues the story. They sat and they fasted for 3 days. Bo Rachmi, and during all that time they're begging for Rachmim from the Eibishter to take away this Yetzirah. Nafalu piskim erakia dahav ksiv ba emes. A note fell down for them from Shemayim that said the word emes, which means that Hashem accepted their tefillah and is going to answer it. We see from this that Hashem's seal is truth. So like Hashem, so to speak, signed off on what they're doing and sent down this message, Min HaShemayim, to show that he approves of what they're doing. The Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah came out in the form of a lion of fire from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why from the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Of all places, is because, after all, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, I mean, as much as we're saying it was a horrible Yetzer Hara and they're begging to be rid of it, it actually, in a certain sense, it actually comes from a place of Kedusha. First of all, we find that there were even times when the kings of Yehuda placed idols in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but in a certain sense, in a very twisted way, it comes from a place of Kedusha. One idea being, one of the many explanations here, the Gemara is saying before that it originally came about as an excuse, but still, ultimately, when they developed feelings for it, part of it was that a person in those days had a certain Yetzer Hara to want to be close with the one he worships. The person is going to believe in and worship a God, then it has to be one that he can feel a closeness with. You have to put an effort in order to have that closeness with the Eibishter. So here we're saying that they didn't want that, they wanted the lazy way out, so therefore they're using Avodah Zarah. But that mentality that you want to, it's not just that you're worshiping and davening and bringing korbanos or whatever, going through the motions, that you actually have feelings for the one. Now that comes from a place of Kedusha. So therefore, in token of that, it came out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In fact, it's brought in some places that as a result of, here the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah successfully got rid of the Avodah Zarah, as we're going to go on to say in the story, the result of that was that Nevuah also went away. Zevo Maser also Elikim. So therefore, if we don't have this powerful connection, this powerful Yetzer Hara to be close anymore, then the result of that is that we don't have that powerful ability to be close to Hashem with Nevuah either. Anyway, so it came out as a line of fire. Omelahu Novi Yisrael, the Novi Zechariah, who was there, said he was one of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, he says to the Jewish people, Hainu Yitzra d'Avodah Zarah, you see that fiery lion, that is the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, go get it. Bahadi to Katafsi Lei, as they're grabbing it to take it over, to get rid of it, Ishmit Benisa Mine, a hair fell out of it, and it screamed in pain, but also Kole Aramea Parsi, and the sound of its roar traveled for 400 parsa. Representing, in other words, the point that getting rid of the Yetzer Hara is not going to be such a simple task. It's not just a matter of you have this one lion and you get rid of it. It's a big, powerful thing. The one hair falling out of it, among other things, represents the idea, as the Gemara says elsewhere, that the Yetzer Hara begins as a single hair, and eventually, if a person doesn't withstand it, then it grows bigger and bigger. Omru, so the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said, Heichi Nevin, what should we do now? Duma Mishmaya, Merachmi Alein, maybe Hashem is going to have Rachmanos on this Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, because now we're with the one hair falling out and it's screaming and roaring in pain. Omelahu Navi, so the Navi tells them, don't worry about that. Shadyuhu Beduda Da'avra, place this fiery lion inside a pot made out of lead. And cover it with a covering made out of lead. The Shayif Kole, lead has the property of absorbing sound. So like this, so to speak, the sound of the roaring of the lion won't be heard anymore. So, Dichtiv, as we actually find, a Pasuk in Zechariah, Vayomer Zois Horisha, he says, this is the wickedness, so in context, the Pasuk is talking about something else over there, but the Gemara is understanding now that it means that this is the wickedness. He's telling them this is the Yetzer Hara of the wickedness of Avodah Zarah, that you've been davening to get rid of. Here it came to you, So the pasuk continues by yashlich oisel teicha efa. He threw it into an efa, into a large container that they had over there that the pasuk describes in the previous few pesukim. By yashlich as even ha'iferas alpia, and he put a lead cover on top of it, representing, in other words, that here they trapped the Yetzer Hara inside that, and that was the end of the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. What does that part about the lead symbolize? For one thing, it means there still exists the Yetzer Hara. I don't think we've gotten rid of the Yetzer Hara completely. The Yetzer Hara is like lead. It can really weigh a person down, and you do have to be careful. You do have to make sure not to succumb to it. But at least as far as this Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, now it's gone. Now it's gone from the world. And so what the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah wanted to accomplish was fulfilled. So Maharshal points out some other details in this, the fact that it appeared to them as a line of fire. The lion is the mazel of Chodesh Av, where the Beis Mikdash was destroyed in that month. So now that's why it appeared to them in that form. And then when we say over here the hair that fell out of it means that there's still going to be the hair, Maharshal explains, represents Seir, as in the hairy one, meaning there's still going to be a second Churban also in Chodesh Av. The crying out, the lion crying out, is like Esav crying out after he found he was deprived of the brachas. So now the Chachamim are concerned about that. We need to be mevatel his koyach as well. So therefore, so by putting it inside the lead line thing means at least that we're weakening that power of Risha. You have the pasuk, "Vayi lost a tikvat spia." The mouth of wickedness is closed up. So therefore, in other words, like they're not able to destroy it completely at that point. There is still going to be a malchus eder. I mean, there is going to still be a churban bayis sheni, but at least they weakened its power with this. Well, the Gemara continues, Amri, the Amshek Netzagdala said, Hoyov Eis Rotzen Hu, since we see now it's an Eis Rotzen, and the Eivishter has given us over this Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah, Niboy Rachmi Ayitzra Da Avera. Let's take the opportunity and also daven for Rachmanus for the Yetzahara of Avera, meaning Znus. We know there were three things for which the first place in the fish was destroyed, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, Shvichas Damim. So now that we've dealt with Avodah Zarah, let's deal with Gilui Arayis. Bo Rachmi Imsib Yadahu. So they dive into the Eivishter for Rachmanus, and sure enough, that Yetzahara was handed over to them as well. Chavshuhu Tlosi Yomi, they imprisoned it for 3 days. Now, here the Gemara just says they imprisoned it for 3 days. In the Gemara also tells the story in Yuma, and there in Yuma it actually says that that Yetzahara itself spoke to them and told them, you know what, better not destroy me. If you do, you're going to destroy the whole world, as the Gemara explains over here what that means. Ibo Beis Abas Yoma, they were looking afterwards for an egg that was laid that day, L'choyla, for a sick person, V'lo Yashkocho, and they couldn't find. Because what happened was, now that they're about to destroy the Yetzahara of Arayas, of Znus, so it meant that there's not going to be, people are not going to have, people and even creatures, even like chickens, are not going to have B'chlal, a taiva, for even mating, for even having relations and having children. Why do people or even animals go through all that trouble of raising their children and all? Is because they have a taiva for having relations, and therefore they're willing to go through the hardships. But if there's no taiva for relations anymore, then even the chickens are not going to be interested in laying eggs. So they realize it's true, the world can't survive like that. Omru, so they said, Heichi Nevin, now what should we do? Niboi Pauga, should we ask that only half of the Yetzahara should be given over to us, that a person should still have a natural tendency to marrying and having relations and mating, or in the case of animals mating? You can't do that. Palgamer Kiyola Yavi, there's a rule. Hashem doesn't give things by halves. You ask Hashem for something, you're not picking and choosing what part of it you get. Again, Zelo Maser, also Lakir. So kachalinu la'ene, so what they did is they put out its eyes. Kachalinu literally means they put koichal as a type of eye shadow. They would use it in those days for healing eyes, but sometimes also they could use it in order to blind a person. So here, that's what the Gemara means. They blinded it. so they blinded it by putting koichal into its eyes, and they let it go. Now, what does that accomplish? It accomplishes that a normal person doesn't have a Yetzahara for his close relatives. So he still has a Yetzahara for a Goita, or for a Nida, or for Eishes Ish, but at least this way it takes away some of the force of that Yetzahara. It makes it, for example, a halacha, a man is allowed to be in Yichud with his daughter, as a normal person doesn't have a Yetzahara for such a thing. So that was accomplished by blinding this Yetzahara. So now the Gemara, so we see from this whole discussion that, again, they started with the Avodah Zarah, they started with the Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah because of something else, because of Arayas, and the end of it was that the Chachamim were able to destroy, or almost destroy, the Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, you still have, there's still some of the Yetzahara of Arayas left. One point with this, by the way, is, I mean, it's not like since then you never had Jews worship Avodah Zarah again, but the point is, in other words, after that, when a Yid worships Avodah Zarah, is basically because he's assimilating altogether, because he wants nothing to do with Yiddishkeit at all. So you have, unfortunately, you have Misyavnim after that, you have different other people from then until now. What we mean over here by this Yetzahara of Avodah Zarah, the Chamur Mevato, means, for example, back then you had a person during the time of the first Bais Mikdash, you might have a person who thinks of himself as a Frum Yid. I keep Shabbos, I eat kosher, I do I bring Korbanos, I do all the other mitzvahs, and I worship Avodah Zarah. It would be like, you know, the way nowadays people don't consider themselves any less of a good yid for the fact, let's say, that they speak, that they talk Lashon Hara, or the fact that they're not always so honest in business or whatever. So that was the mentality they had in those days about Avodah Zarah. It's one mitzvah, it's not a big deal. But now what it is you have like the Alter Rebbe describes in Tanya, we had in the last few days, that a person realizes that Yetzer Hara is beyond the pale. If he's going to be worshipping it, Rahman al-Islam, it means that he's generally fallen away from Yiddishkeit. It's not just one specific aveir. And even then, as the Alter Rebbe explains, sometimes you have even the most assimilated yid realizes when it comes to actual literal Avodah Zarah, then he realizes that's it, the jig is up, and then he's going to make the right choice. All right, the Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. Now, we learned in the Mishnah about Baal Pa'or, the Avodah Zarah, that they would worship by going to the bathroom in front of it. So let's talk about that. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. Maisa ben Nochris Achas Choy Sechoy Le B'Yosef. There was a certain Goyish woman who was very sick. Amra, so she makes a neder for herself in Tamidahi Ishmecholia, if that woman, if I, recover from her illness, Kelech Metavid Lechol Avodah Zarah Sheba Olam, then in gratitude she'll go and worship every Avodah Zarah in the world. I'll give them all credit for the fact that I recovered, and I'll go worship each one of them. Sure enough, she went and started worshiping every Avodah Zarah in the world. Kibin she gila pa'ur, she comes to pa'ur, shalol koimrim bameh oivjin lazu. So she asked the priest, how is this one worship? Omrullah, so they told her, Oichlim Trodin, you eat beets which help loosen the person's bowels, the Shosin Shecha, and you drink beer, same thing, that also has a laxative effect. Rashi points out specifically we mean new beer, fresh beer has that effect. Omatrizin Mifanea, and then you go and squirt out and go squirt out diarrhea in front of it. That's the way to worship it. Omra, she says to herself, Mutav Shetachzer, Ahi Isha L'Cholya. That's disgusting. She says, I would rather go back and be sick again, V'leitavet Avodah Zarah V'kach, and not worship Avodah Zarah in such a way. Even she, a goita, recognizes what a repulsive kind of Avodah Zarah that is. There's a difference. There's a medrash also that mentions a nobleman who one time is passing along and comes to a place of Avodah Zarah, and he is told the same thing, and he actually has his soldiers who are with him beat up the priests over there, saying what kind of low life, what kind of disgusting thing are you doing over here? However, then Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav continues, Atem b'nei Yisrael ein en kein. However, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, unfortunately, we find you Jewish people are not like that. Look at you. You got involved with Baal Pa'ur. And it's modim l'Baal Pa'ur. Moshe describes, the Pasuk describes the narrative at the end of Parshas Bala. Describes the people, hanitzmodim, l'val pa'ur, the people who became attached to Baal Pa'ur. And what's this word, hanitzmodim? Ketzomid psil. Means they became as closely attached to it as a tzomid psil to a container, which is a covering on a container. It comes up in Hilchos Tum Latara, that's tightly attached and tightly fitted to the container. So in other words, like you're very strongly attached to this Avodah Zarah. As opposed to you have Moshe who says to the Jewish people, you are less contrast with the people who got involved with Baal Pa'ur, you who are stuck to Hashem Alekechem, implying not as strong a connection. You with Hashem are like two figs that are stuck one to another, which are not so tightly stuck one to another. So in other words, Moshe is there. So in other words, the contrast is, Moshe is saying to them, look at this, when it comes to Pa'ur, you got really strongly attached to it, but when it comes to Hashem, you don't seem to have that same closeness that you have to Hashem. Marsha connects this with the previous Gemara. We said that they got into Avodah Zarah only in order to be mocked at them Arayas. Well, that's the point. How did they get into Baal Pa'ur? Later in the Masechta, in the last Perek, we're going to talk about how did the Benois Midian seduce them into Baal Pa'ur in the first place. It's because they offered to have relations with them, and therefore they got them into that. So therefore they have this powerful connection as a result of that, whereas with Hashem, you don't seem to have such a strong connection. However, the Gemara says, "B'masnisa tana." In a brisa, we learn the other way around, that these psukim are actually in praise of the Jewish people. And it's modim l'val pa'ur means not such a strong connection. Ketzomid al-yidei isha means like a tzomid, like a bracelet on a woman's arm, which is not quite so tightly fitting. As opposed to v'atam ad-veikim, Hashem al-kechem, means dvukim boimamash, means really tightly connected to Hashem. So in other words, basically the question is which one represents a stronger connection, Tsomud or Dovuk? So Rav Yehuda is saying again, Rav Yehuda is saying, according to what he said before, that they got into Baal Pa'ur in order to get into Arayas. So therefore, so they were strongly connected to that, because the fact is they had this taiva for the Benois Moyav, and therefore they weren't so strongly connected to Hashem because they wanted this excuse of Arayas, as opposed to the Braisa is taking the other way around, that the Baal Pa'ur was really only, since it wasn't, after all, for one thing, what they were doing over there, Faket, they weren't quite so strongly connected. It's an avash etluya bedover, as opposed to our connection with Hashem is an avash ein tluya bedover, and therefore ein a betelul oilam, like it says in Pirkei Avos, and therefore it's stronger. The Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa b'Savta ben Alos, that it happened once with a Yid by the name of Savta ben Alos. There's different stories over here, whether it's Ben Alos, Min Alos, whatever, so either Alos is his father's name, or it's the name of the place that he came from. Anyway, Shehisku Chamor L'Nochris Achas, he rented out his donkey to a goiter who needed it to ride. Kivinchi Gila Pa'ur, when she passed by a temple of Pa'ur, Omra Loi, she tells him, Hampton, Adshe Konis Ve'etze, wait until I go in and go out. I have business over here. He says to her, he thought that the bathroom over there, so he says, wait until I also go in and go out. Omra Loi, she says, Veloy Yehudiata, aren't you a Jew? What would you be doing in such a place? So he says to her, what do you care? He doesn't realize that this is a matter of Avodah Zarah. He thinks it's the bathroom. Nichnas, he went in par b'fonav, he opened up in front of it, he started going to the bathroom in front of it, v'kinach b'choytmai, and even at the end, he wiped himself with the nose of the idol. The priests, they were praising him, and they're saying, ma'olam lehoya odam sh'ovde lezu b'kach, nobody ever worshipped this Avodah Zarah as well as you just did. Actually, Mao Shah points out a different possibility. Makalsin actually kind of has a double meaning. It can mean to praise. It can also mean to mock. It's actually an interesting difference in terminology between Tanakh and the Gemara. In Tanakh, when it uses the Shodash Kelas, Kuf Lamed Samach, it means to mock. In Gemara, it generally means to praise. In fact, Tosfos at the top of the Omud over here points out, we talked about this before, that the name of the idol Merkulis that we talked about in the Mishnah, where we said that you throw stones to it, Tosfos said the real name of it was Kilos, which means praise. The Chachamim, we don't want to call on it as a praise, so instead they changed it to Merkulis, where Mer means instead of. So it means instead of the praise, you're using the other meaning of Kilos, which means to degrade it. Anyway, the point is that the point is then, from our Shah says, it can also mean Kalsinoisa, they're making fun of him. Look at this. Here we know you Jews are not worshipping Avodah Zarah anymore. The Yetzirah for it has long since been gotten rid of, and here look at this, look how well you worship this one. Now, does that mean that the Savta would actually be Chayav Achatas for it? Misa, of course not. There was no Edim Vasra, but would he be Chayav Achatas? So in this and the next story that the Gemara mentions over here, the Tosfos mentions that maybe not, actually, because it would have to be at least that he intends to worship it in a way of Bizoyan. Now, the Gemara is going to explain that when it comes to Pa'ur and Melchulis, even though he intends to go to the bathroom in front of it, which is a degrading thing, or throw stones in the case of Melchulis, then he's Chayev, but Tosfos learns that means specifically when he actually means to worship it with that. Because otherwise, Tosfos points out, we learned a few days ago about me'ava or me'yira. We learned about when a person worships Avodah Zarah because of ulterior motives, because of ava or yira, however we define those the other day. So therefore, that being the case then, if he just goes to the bathroom over there, like the Savta, not knowing that it's an act of Avodah Zarah, then maybe Taka shouldn't be, Chayev. So Tosfos discusses this over here, a few dafim earlier. Tosfos also discusses on the other hand, the Gemara had mentioned that according to Rava, we said that a person worships Me'av of Yireh's Potter. So the Gemara had mentioned, you have a case where Oimer, what would be Shoigig, would be Oimer Mutter, would be where he thinks that it's Mutter to worship Avodah Zarah in the first place. But according to that, why do you need that? We have what we're saying over here, that he goes to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur, and he doesn't know that, and he doesn't know that he's worshipping it with that b'chlal. So there's a lot of discussion among achronim how to reconcile these things and what does that mean exactly. What exactly is this case in which a person is, what is the case where a person is actually chayav for doing it b'shoigig versus not? So again, according to Tosfos over here, you would say that the Savta, in the case of Reb Menashe, that Gemara is going to point out soon, maybe they would actually be potter because they didn't actually, intend to worship it. On the other hand, Marashah says maybe what Tosfos means is there's a difference between Chayuv Misa and Chatas. Maybe Tosfos is saying, in order to be Chayuv Misa, he has to actually intend to worship it. So in other words, in this case, even if they had told Savta beforehand, you know, this is the way the Avodah Zarah is worshipped, if he had gone and done that, then maybe he wouldn't be chayav misa for it because he didn't truly intend to worship it, and at worst, it's like my avo meira. On the other hand, to being a chatas, Marsha says maybe he would be chayav a chatas regardless. So the Gemara says, when he said Hazurik Evan Lamerkulus Zuhi Avidasa, when he said So the Mishnah had said, Apoyer Atzma Lebal Pa'ur Hareza Avidasa. We said in the Mishnah that a person goes to the bathroom in front of Baal Pa'ur, that is the Avodah. So that means, again, Afagavda, Miskavin the Mekavin Lebizui. Even though he means to be Mavazir, nevertheless, he would still be Chayev. So he'd still be Chayev, a Korban. Now Rashi says if they gave him Asra, he would be Chayev Nissa. But again, according to how Marsha learns Tosfos, it might be that Mister he would never be chayev where he means to be mevazeh, and the only way where he'd be chayev Mister is if he actually intended to worship it with that. But a chatos, according to Marashah, he would have to bring regardless. Similarly, Hazorik Evan the Merkulus, we have Idase, same way, if he throws a rock at Merkulus, that's the normal way of worshipping it. Again, Afagav the Mekavan the Mirgame, even though he means to stone it, nevertheless, that is the normal way of its avoda. So if he actually intends to be over it, then he's definitely Chayev. If he's not meaning to be over it, then you have this Macholikus, what exactly would he be Chayev? So the Gemara tells a story. Reb Menashe have a ka'ozel lebeit Tursa. Reb Menashe one time was traveling to a place called Beit Tursa. Omru loy avodah zarah hidekoy hacha. So they told him, you should know, on the way over here, there is an avodah zarah. Shokopisa shodabe, he took a clod of dirt and threw it at it to mock the avodah zarah. He wants to mock or do whatever he can to do against avodah zarah. Omru loy, then the people told him, wait a minute, merkulus, see, what you just threw at is a merkulus. So that was worshipping it. Menashe says, wait a minute, Hazurik Evan Lemerkulus Tznan. It only says that a person is Chayev when he says that he throws it to Merkulus, meaning in order to honor it. I didn't throw it in order to honor it. I threw it to be Mervazeh. So I shouldn't be Chayev. Well, Osa Shol Ben Medrash, he went and asked at the Beis Medrash. Omrulay, they explained to him, no, Hazurik Evan Bim Merkulus Tznan. The Mishnah is saying that he throws a stone at Merkulus, meaning not like you think Lim Merkulus, only if he's doing it for the sake of the Merkulus in order to honor it, in order to worship it. No, Bim Merkulus, just throwing the stone, or in your case, the clod of dirt, at the Merkulus is enough to make you Chayim. So they're telling him you'd be chayev. The Yad Ramah says that actually maybe he wouldn't be completely chayev since he didn't know, and maybe it wouldn't even be b'shoigig because he didn't even know ahead of time that it was a merkulus. So maybe the Menashe is just concerned about the Maris Ayin in it to know for the future. Or actually the Maris Ayin will be the next thing rather. So they tell him Bim Merkulus Tanan Afagav the Mekavan the Mirgame. So even if you intend to stone it and to degrade it, not to worship it, nevertheless you did something wrong. Omalahu, so he says Ezel Eshkala. Okay, in that case, let me go and find that clod of dirt and I'll take it away from there. That way, at least it's not being beautified by having another clod of dirt there among all the other rocks. So he was where the Yad Ramah says, and maybe he means with that, at least it's not going to take away the fact that he threw it before, but at least it'll be from Maris Ayin. At least it won't look like it's there and it's constantly beautifying the Avodah Zarah. Omrulei, the Chum told him, don't do that. Echad anoitla, v'echad anoisna, chayev. Because whether a person takes away, whether a person puts or throws a rock at Merkulus, or whether he takes one away, either way he's chayev, Mister or Chatas or whatever, as the case may be, because every stone that's taken away leaves room for other stones to be thrown over there. So in other words, the idea is that Rashi implies, and the Chazon Ish teaches out, what it means is that itself is part of the method of worshiping a Melkolus, is by sometimes taking away and clearing away the stones in order to make room for other people to put them. So now, therefore, they tell the Menashe, it's too late. You can't take away your stone, because then that's also taking it away is a normal way of worshipping it, and then your vayit are going to be chayev. Another point you could also understand is that the stones are kind of like interlocking over there, and you take away one, all of them fall. So therefore, that would all be part of it. It's clearing away space. Okay. Moving along with the next thing that we learned in the Mishnah back on Daf Nun Gimel, we had the list of people who are Chayev Skila, so we've been going through them and explaining about the details of them. So now we're up to the next one. Hanosin Mizari La Moloch. A person gives over of his descendants to Moloch. So the Mishnah describes what's the ritual, what's the ceremony that's done that would make him chayev. Ain chayev, when is he chayev skila, ad sheyim so lamoylach, only if he gives over the child to Moloch, which the Gemara is going to explain means, in other words, that he gives it over to the priests of Moloch, and they walk there's a machlokas we've shown him actually what happens. Does that mean? Now Rashi learns it means that he gives it over to the priests, and then they themselves walk the child over between the fires, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis. As opposed to a number of Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ramban and other Rishonim learn that it means he gives him to the priest, like so to speak, symbolically giving him to the Avodah Zarah, and then the father or whichever parent, or the grandfather or whatever, takes the child and himself walks him through over there. You also have the machloekas. The Rambam says very strongly that this absolutely does not result in the burning and killing of the child. When we learned before about Adram Melech va'anamelech alakeis favayim and about ochas and all of that, that was a different thing. That wasn't Moloch per se, but something else. On the other hand, the Ramban learns, and a number of the Mefoshim who talk on pshat level also learn that Moloch does involve burning the child. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. So it has to be that Shayim Sola Moloch, that he hands him over to Moloch, meaning to the priests of Moloch, the Yavr Ba'esh, and that he passes him through fire or between the fires in honor of Moloch. If he gave him to the priest, but he didn't have him pass through the fire, he's chayev only if he actually does both parts of the ritual. Meaning, the Orach HaNer also explains that it means not only if he does only one part of it is he potter, but also, which would still mean it's also to do, but he's potter. The Orach HaNer explains the Mishnah by adding this last part is also saying that if he does them in reverse order, he's also potter. If he were to pass him through the fires and then give him over to the priest of Avodah Zarah, then he'd also be potter. On the other hand, therefore that's why the Mishnah repeats that point to say that it needs to be not only these two things but also in that order. So the Gemara says, Katoni Avodah Zarah b'Katoni Moloch. Now, earlier in the Mishnah, when we had the list of the 18 people who are Chayev Skila, it mentioned people who worship Avodah Zarah, and then it also mentioned Moloch separately. Now, why? The Mishnah, when it comes to the details of Avodah Zarah, it mentioned, for example, Po'or and Merkulis, because we need to know the details about them, about what's involved in worshipping them. But when we have the basic list of 18 includes worshipping Avodah Zarah, meaning whatever kind of Avodah Zarah there is in the world, with all the details that we learned in the last few dafim. So why is it mentioning Moloch as a separate one in the list? We learn, therefore, our Mishnah is following the opinion that Moloch is not considered a regular Avodah Zarah, meaning, in other words, for example, let's say a person, now here we learned previously that if a person were to bring a korban to Avodah Zarah, then he's chayev skila or kores or achatos, as the case may be, even if that's not the normal way of worshipping that Avodah Zarah. Even, let's say, Po'or or Merkulis. Now what we're saying, though, if Moloch is not Avodah Zarah, it means if a person were to bring a regular korban of an animal to Moloch, he wouldn't be chayev for that. So it means that Moloch is basically, it's a ritual that the Goyim had then, but it's not an actual Avodah Zarah for which the four Avodahs would apply. D'tanya, as in fact we learn in a Braisa, echad lamolach ve'echad l'shad avodah zarah chayav, that whether a person does this passing his children through fire for molach or for other avodah zarah, he'd be chayav. Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Shimon Omer, but so according to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, then Molech is considered an Avodah Zarah, and therefore the same rule would apply to it as to any other Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Molech Chayev Shalom Molech Potter. Rabbi Lozab, Rabbi Shimon says that no, only if he does it in honor of Molech, then he'd be Chayev, but otherwise he's Potter. Because in other words, so in other words, according to him, Molech is not really an Avodah Zarah. Then Rashi also adds, given that we already learned before that any way in which an Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped is also a chayavdu, so if it was an Avodah Zarah, then you wouldn't have to, the pasuk wouldn't have to single out that if a person passes his son and his child through fire to Molech, he'd be chayav. We know already that any Avodah Zarah, the normal way of worshipping it, is chayav. Therefore, we're saying that Molech, says Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, is not an actual Avodah Zarah. It's just it's a goyish ritual that they had then, and the Torah specifically singles out this goyish ritual and says you're not allowed to do it, and a person who does is chayav misa. So the Gemara points out, Omer Abaya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanan ben Antignus, Amru Dover Echad. It comes out that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon ben Antignus, and the Nafkamina is also, therefore, if a person were to do this passing through fire to some other Avodah Zarah, he wouldn't be chayiv. If he burns the child, then he'd be chayiv anyhow, because then that's burning for Avodah Zarah, but if he just had him walk between the fires, then he wouldn't, only if it's Molech. So that Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Amru Davar Echad. It comes out that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus are basically saying the same thing. They're both explaining, they both have a similar shitta. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Hadamar, and we said that he holds that there's a difference between Molech and actual Avodah Zarah, and therefore that this ritual is chayiv only if he does it to Molech. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Titania, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Omer, with name Ma Tofsa Torah Loshen Molech. Why does the Torah use the name Molech? Means kolshim lechu aleihem, means anything that they call it molech, anything that they made a king over them, molech, molosh, and melech. So anything that they made a king over them, afilu tzrur, afilu kesam. Even if a person were to take a little pebble or a little chip of wood, which is not something that a person would worship, and they declare it a molech, then if a person now goes and sets up fires and passes a child between them in honor of this chip of wood or this pebble, then he'd be chayiv misa or chatas if it was b'shoigig. As opposed to any other avodah zarah is not so, because again other avodah zarahs are not worshipped in this kind of way. Rava Omar, Rava says no, not like Abaya says. Molech arai ikabinaihu. The nakamina between them, no, there is actually a difference, says Rava. Rava, you're saying Abaya that Rava Lozab Rav Shimon and Rav Chanan and Antignus are saying the same thing, namely both of them are saying that Molech is not really Avodah Zarah. No, the difference is, when you have, if they take and set up a temporary molech, so they take, again, like you were saying, a pebble or a chip of wood, then would he be chayev as molech or not? That's actually, Rava says, there's a machloikus between these two tanoim. You, Abaya, are saying that both of them would agree that he's chayev. Rava says no. The nafkamina would be, Rav Chanina ben Antignus would say that he's chayev because he's saying that it means anything shein l'chu aleihem, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon would require it to be a permanent molech, something that's used long term as a molech, not just something where a person temporarily takes a pebble or whatever and declares it molech and does this. So Rava says that case that you're saying, Abayo, that you're saying both Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus would agree to, I'm telling you, says Rava, they would actually disagree on that. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon would say he's potter, only Rav Chanina ben Antignus would say he's chayev. Okay, the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yana, Eina chayev abshim sirenu l'mishosi avodah zarah. When is he chayev from molech? It means when he gives over the child to the priests of the avodah zarah, of the molech. So again, in other words, because we said in the Mishnah, he gives him over to Molech, but it didn't specify what that means exactly, so Rav Yana explains that it means to give it over to the priests. That's how Rashi learns, and a number of other Rishonim learn that way as well. On the other hand, the Ran asks on that and says the Ran explains that no, Rav Yana is saying, when we say, Shiyim Sirenu L'Molech, that it means that that Rav Yaneh wants us to know where we're learning that from. Where do we know that there's a concept that you have to actually, that it has to actually be, that he gives them over to the priests? In other words, he's not saying how, in other words, he's not telling you the actual din that we know from the Mishnah. He's telling you where we learn this from. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Misarach Oloi Siten Lahav Ilamoylach. The Pasuk says you should not give from your descendants to pass through to Moylach. So in other words, the implication is there has to be a giving to somebody else. So who is the somebody else will be the priest of Moylach. Tani Nami Hochi, we learn similarly in Ebraista, Yochol Hebrev Olemoso Yehei Chayev, you would think that if he passes all of his children through the fires over there, but he didn't beforehand give them over to the priest, which again, you have this machlokas, whether that means the priests themselves then pass the child through, or whether they return him to the father, and the father does it. Anyway, so you'd think that Yehei Chayev, maybe he should be Chayev as well. No, Tamad Lai Meloi Sitin. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Meloi Sitin, there has to be a giving over of the child to the priest. Yochol Hever, Yochol Mosel Amolach Vele Hever, what happens if he gave it to the priest, but they didn't actually pass him through the fire? Yochol Yehei Chayev, you would think that he should be Chayev. Tamadloim Alahavir, therefore the Pasuk says to pass through. So don't give it to them in order to pass through. Most of the Hever, the Shaloi Lamolach Yochol Yehei Chayev, you would think a person is Chayev if he does this for some other Getchke. Tamadloim Alamolach, therefore the Pasuk says Alamolach, it's specific to Molach, this concept. It doesn't apply to other Getchkes, like we said, on Omer Aleph, because it's only, this is a specific ritual for Molach, and again, as we said, that our Mishnah and the Braisa are following the opinion that Molach is not actually considered a separate ritual of its own. It's not a regular Avodah Zarah. And Rashi also explains when it says Lo Sitin Lahavir means, in other words, when you give it to them, usually they're going to be passing it through. But nevertheless, it still has to be that they actually do that. He's not chayiv unless they actually do that. Lo Sitin Lahavir means you shouldn't give them for the purpose of bringing them through, and therefore it has to be that both things happen. That it's not just one or the other. So now, what about if he did it for a different avodah zarah? Yochol Yehei Chayiv, you would think he's chayiv tamad loymer la molach. Therefore, it says specifically to molach. What about Moser v'hevel ha-molach v'loy v'esh? What happens, he did give it to the priests of Molach, and they did pass him through, but not with fire. They didn't make the fires over there. They just had him walk along a platform between other things. Yochol Yehei Chayiv? No. Nemar kan lahavir? No, because we know, because here the pasuk says, or mizar, it says mizar chol esitin lahavir lamolach. V'nemar lahavir lo yimotzim chab mavir b'no yuvitir ba'ish. In a different pasuk in Shoftim, it says there shouldn't be anybody among the Jewish people who passes their child, their son or daughter, in fire. So we learn from Gzeira Shava, Malahalon, Ba'esh, Afkan Ba'esh, the same way as in Parashat Shrovkin, it refers to fire, the same way in Achrin Mois, when it mentions worshipping Moilach, it also means having him pass through fire. Umakan Moilach, and just like over here, it means specifically Moilach, Aflahalon Moilach, the same way the one in Parashat Shrovkin, Mabrub No Bitter Ba'esh, is also talking about this ritual of Moilach. So therefore, we have all the details that we mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gemara adds, Omer of Acha Breder Rava, Hever Kol Zarei Potter. If a person passes all his children through, then he's Potter. Shenema Umi Zaracha, because it's Pasuk says, and from your children, meaning V'loi Kol Zarecha, implying but not all your children. Now, why would that be so? So first of all, Tosfos points out a practical matter. Once he does the first child, then when he's chayev, so how can he now be potter? By the time he does the rest of them, it's too late to potter him. So Tosfos says, let's say, for example, he has only one child to begin with. Or let's say he had them all done at the same time. So then we're saying he'd be potter. What's the logic of that? So those Mephoshim who understand that Merlech involves actually sacrificing and burning the child, they say, for one thing, because then it means that nobody would be so foolish to do that. So it means, in other words, almost like he's not in his right mind or something, or the Meshech Chochmah says another point, like the whole Merlech thing was always one big scam over there, where they convince a person you only have to give up one of your children, and then you'll have wealth and everything else from that. But if he does all his children, nobody's going to be convinced for such a thing in the first place. A number of other Rishonim who say, like Rashi, that it doesn't mean, like the Rambam, that it doesn't mean burning the child, they explain he did so much of the Avera that therefore at this point he can't even have Kapora from Mrs. Beistin anymore. The Eibishter will have to deal with him. The Gemara continues, Boy Ravashi, Hevira Suma Mahu. What would happen if the child was blind and he had him pass through? Now, the child himself is not able to go by himself, so therefore maybe even the father takes him through, or the priests take him through, or whatever. Maybe, in other words, the vote is, it has to be where the child is able to go by himself, and then instead the ritual is that the priest or the father take him through. But now he's blind, where he himself is not able to, then maybe he's not chayev. Yoshin mahu, what if the child is asleep? Ben bnei or ben vitei mahu, what happens if it's not his own child, but his grandchild? So the most tifshit miyachoda, of these questions, we can't answer all of them, but at least we can answer one of them. Netanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Kimi Zara in Nosan Lamoilach, in yet another place, so you have Mizara Cholesit and Lahav Lamoilach. Then in Parashas Kedoshim, it discusses the punishment for it, that a person has Chayav Skila or Kores for it. And the Pasuk says, Kimi Zara in Nosan Lamoilach, from his children to Moilach. Ma Tamad Lema, now why does the Pasuk need to say that? We already have in earlier Pasukim where it talks about that he gives over his children to Moilach. So Lafisha Namar, because the warning of it is in Parashas Shoftim, Lo Yimotze B'chav Ma'ar B'noyu B'tei Be'esh, it mentions his son or his daughter, Einli Ela B'noyu B'tei, so from that you would only know if it's his actual son or daughter, Ben B'noyu Ben B'tei Minai, and how do we know his chayiv even for his grandchildren, Tamad Loimah B'sitei Mizaroi, therefore the Pasuk says he gives over of his Zaroi, of his seed, to Moilach, so that includes any of his descendants. So Rashi points out that the Gemara is actually the Gemara actually asks the question. Tana Posach Bikini Zaroi Vesolik Besitim Zaroi. What do you mean? The Gemara began asking why we need a certain Posach, which is Posach Gimel over there, and an answer is why we need Posach Beis. Why is the Braita doing that? Why is it not explaining why we need Posach Gimel? So the answer is drasha achrinu, because we have another drasha that the Braisa is implying. Ainli elo zera kosher zaroi. When it says zaroi, as far as the punishment, ainli elo zera kosher. From that you would know only if it's kosher to children, only not mamzerim, for example. Zera posel minayin. How we know he's chayev even if the child is a mamzer or other kind of posel like that. Tamad leimer misitei mizaroi. Therefore, we have another posel misitei mizaroi. So there's both. In other words, there's we know that it includes even grandchildren from one pasuk, and we know that it includes even if the children or grandchildren are mamzerim or otherwise psulim, we know from another pasuk. Okay, so the Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda, Eine chayev ad she'avir enu derech ha'avora. He's chayev from Moilach only if he passes it through in the way of passing through. What does that mean? Hechi dami, what does that mean? Amar Abaya, shraga delivni. It means they have a high row of bricks. B'mitzi, and the shraga delivni b'mitzi, they have a row of bricks, like a walkway made out of bricks in the middle. V'nura mehai gisa, and there's a fire on each side. So it's literally being mavu bo'esh. She's passing the child on the platform of bricks between the stones, on the platform between the fires. So again, Rashi makes the point that the child is not burnt, but again, we have there are Rishonim who learn that they actually would burn him, and the Oroch actually says kind of in between. It means that they would first they would have him walk through on this brick platform over there, but then they would have him walk back and forth until eventually the fire catches a hold of him and he actually does get burnt. So that's Abaya's definition of how Moilach was done. Rava Amar Kamashvar to the Puria. Rava says it's like the jumping of Purim. On Purim, people would make as part of the Purim fun, they would have a hole in the ground with a fire in it, and children would jump across from one side to the other. An interesting thing we find in ancient sources, that on Purim they'd make like an effigy of Haman, like a dummy representing Haman. And they'd hang it on roofs, and afterwards they'd burn it on Purim. So this Mashvarta de Puria seems to be part of that as well. They'd burn it in a hole in the ground, and as part of the fun, children would jump back and forth over the burning Haman. So Rava says that's the definition of passing through from Moilach is jumping over a fire over there. The Gemara says, Tanya Kava said, Rava, we learn a Braisa like Rava's definition. Ene chayev ad she'avir enu derech avora, or ha'avorosoi. Havira berego potter, he's on chayev, only if he passes it through in a normal way, and if he passes it through on foot, then he's potter. So we see it can't be like a buyer, because a buyer's definition is he's walking through it on foot. He's walking along this brick walkway between the fires. So it has to be like rubber, that it involves jumping over a fire. And the Braita continues, the Eina Chayev El Al Yotze Yirechai. Now he's only Chayev only if it's his actual descendants that he does this ritual of Molech for. Okay, said, what does this mean? If he does his own son or daughter, he'd be chayev. Over the imay, but if he takes his father or mother and does them with this ritual of molech, ochi vachoy, say his brother or sister, potter, then he would be potter. Hever atzmei potter. Also, if he makes himself pass through, if he himself walks through or jumps through, then he'd also be potter. But Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon says that in that case he's chayev if he does it himself for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain. And echad lamoylech veechad l'shara v'rezor chayev. And again, we have the machloekus that we had on Amud Aleph. This would apply whether to moylech or to any other getchke. Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon omer lamoylech chayev shelo lamoylech potter. And Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon says only to moylech, not to anything else, because if we talk about on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Elazar ben Reb Shimon considers that moylech is not a regular v'rezor. It's a special kind of goyish ritual. Well, the Gemara says, Omar Ola, my time is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Why does Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon say that he's chayev if he himself walks through? So he said, Omar Kura, because the pasuk says, lo yimotze b'cha, there should not be found in you, which implies b'cha ba'atzmacha, in you yourself. So in other words, we see, says Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that the person himself walks through, then he's also chayev for molech. So it means ba'atzmacha. So the question is, Rabbanon lo darshin b'cha? So what are the chachamim? Do they not darshin the word b'cha in these kinds of contexts? V'hatznan, we learn, for example, in a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, in Eila Metzias, avedase v'avedas av, if a person has something that he himself lost and there's something that his father lost, So shaloi kodemeth, and he can go look for his first, even though it means he might not find his father's, and his father is going to suffer a loss. What about kibud avayim? I mean, in my timer, the amr of Yehuda amakra efes kiloye b'cha evyon, because the pasuk says, however, there should not be in you a poor person, which means shaloi kodemeth the shalok aladam. It means that yours b'cha, what applies to you, comes ahead of everybody else. So as much as there's kibud avayim, and as much as the shavas aveda and everything, then b'cha means that you yourself should make sure that you don't become poor. The answer is Hosam Me'efes, because there, the Chacham are not darshaning from the word Becha, they're darshaning from the word Efes, where the word Efes means becoming poor. Ki Ofes Koseth, Rashi says. So the word Efes itself means you have to make sure to remove, to get rid of any possibility of poverty from yourself. So they're not actually learning from the word Becha, so here also Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is darshaning from Becha, that includes that he himself did it, and the Chachamim disagree and say that he'd be Poser in that case. So we'll finish up this discussion. About Molech tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and then we'll continue on the next ones that it said in the Mishnah, the next ones that are Chayev Skila, the Baal Oven Yidonim. We'll get into that.